sinners. 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 We're all sinners, aren't we? This is our day. Nobody here is pretending to be perfect. We're all here because we know that we are sinners. There's something fundamental about that. This chapel was full at 4. It's basically full at 9:30. Churches throughout the world full of people who know that not everything is right in their hearts. And that, my friends, is a good thing. Even if it's an uncomfortable thing, because it is the truth. And Christianity, in particular, Catholicism, is fundamentally interested in truth. Because as Jesus says, the truth shall set you free. We know it's true that not everything is right in us. You know it, I know it. When we walk in that truth, it opens the possibility for freedom. Not everything is right in my heart, not everything is right in your heart. Most of the time, we play the game that everything's okay. I'm okay, you're okay. We're all fine, we're all just pretty decent, nice people. Ash Wednesday removes that pretense, tears down that facade, and says, no, we're sinners. And the right response is this. If someone asks, what is wrong in the world today? And there's lots wrong in the world today. We would do well to imitate the great line from G.K. Chesterton. Someone asked him, what is wrong with the world today? And he said, I am. I am. If every one of us acknowledged that in a profound way, we would be living in a lot more truth, wouldn't we? However, lest you think this is just a rant against sinners, there's more to that truth. Jesus loves sinners. He came precisely for sinners. He came for you and for me, not in spite of our sins, but because of them. And that is the even deeper truth. So while it is true to say, I'm a sinner, not everything in my heart is right, not everything in your heart is right, it's even more true to say Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Jesus Christ loves me as a sinner. Jesus Christ loves me so much that he wants to save me from my sins, that he wants to free me from my sins. And so the church in her wisdom gives us this great season of Lent. It's not a time where we just go about and keep beating our breasts, I'm just a lowly sinner, that's all it is, I'm just awful. No, that's only one step. The greater sense of the season is this. Lent means springtime. The word means springtime. What happens in the springtime? Things that have been dormant, things that even appear to be dead, things that have been buried, just like the world around us, in the snow and the cold of winter, come to life. The Lord wants that to happen in your heart and in my heart this season. Those deep desires of our hearts, the deepest desire, which is for God, as St. Augustine said, our hearts are restless until they rest in you. You have made us for yourself, O God. Those deep desires are meant to come back to life if they have been buried between too much focus on self, between too much attention paid to comfort and to pleasure, between too little attention paid to the needs of others beyond us, especially the poor. And so the church in her wisdom follows the gospel that we hear tonight in Matthew. when you pray, when you fast, when you give alms. And we are all called to re-engage those fundamental disciplines of the spiritual life. If Lent means spring, this season of Lent is spring training. And in warmer climates, people are going to spring training. Baseball players, the pros, the experts, they're going to spring training. And you know what they do in spring training? They go back to the very basics, the fundamentals that no matter of experience, no amount of expertise allows you to move beyond. They go back to the very basics, pitchers and catchers. We too as Christians are called to go back to the very basics so that we enter into this season. Prayer, fasting, almsgiving, they're not optional. They're expected. Jesus says, when you pray, not if you pray. He says, when you fast, not if you fast. He says, when you give alms, not if you give alms. And those disciplines, they relay the foundation for the spiritual life, and they awaken us. They awaken us to the grace that God wants to give each and every one of us. We're not meant to sleepwalk through this life. And we're not meant to sleepwalk through this season. The church asks us to take seriously the spiritual life. But that seriousness, my friends, is not just a somber, dour experience. Rather, the more serious we take the spiritual life, the more joyful we become, the more free we become, the more passionate we become, the more courageous we become, the more engaged we become. And who wouldn't want that? Why do we settle to go through life numbed up, complacent and apathetic? The church says no. Lent. She grants us a great opportunity. It's not one to be taken lightly. I don't know if you paid attention at the beginning prayer of this service. Grant, O Lord, that we may begin with holy fasting this campaign of Christian service, so that as we take up battle against spiritual evils, we may be armed with weapons of self-restraint. If you know what's being said there, you know that the church takes this season seriously. It's time to fight. It's a battle. It's a battle out there. And it's a battle in here, in our hearts. We are called to fight. We are the Ecclesia Militans, the church militant on earth. But what a great fight. It's the only fight that matters. Will we be loving people who are sent out as emissaries of the one true King, who fight to bring that love into the world? Or do we run from the battlefield and let selfishness, complacency, the worship of pleasure, the objectification of others rule our world? I don't know about you, but when I think about that, I know what side I want to be on. It's not easy, but we're not called to an easy life. We're called to a powerful, meaningful existence. And Jesus Christ opens that possibility. I can tell you this. He wants to do amazing things in your heart this Lenten season. And He will. If you show up, if you take seriously the spiritual life. I also can tell you this. If you take seriously the spiritual life, if you show up so Jesus can bless you, you will know more joy, more freedom, more passion, more energy in your life than you've ever experienced. Because who is God? but the source of joy itself. The absolute freedom. The absolute source of all life. And the closer we get to Him, the more alive we become. So my friends, let's not be complacent. Let's not settle for mediocrity. Some of you haven't been here in a while. Notice the doors of the church didn't light on fire when you walked through them. What a blessing to have you back. Don't let this be your only experience of the Lord until Easter. But rather dive in. Dedicate. Jesus will show you how to walk with Him. He will teach you how to pray. If you fast, you will know greater freedom from desires that you don't want dominating your heart. If you give alms, you will know the greatest freedom of getting outside of your own self. And knowing that the world is bigger than you and your concerns, and that some concerns that people have are incredibly real and desperate. This is time for us to train. This is time for us to train to be the type of people who can receive God's love and give God's love, and eventually the type of people who can be with God forever in heaven. It is a perfect time. St. Paul says this, "Behold, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation." The Lord is calling us to change. He's calling you to change and me to change in deep and lasting ways. That change is meant to happen now. Do not waste your youth. Do not waste the energy that you have for life, the hopes you have for life, the passion you have for life on silly and even stupid things. Return to the Lord. Draw close to His heart. And do it now. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation.